Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Because honestly, it's sad that we have to sit here and have this conversation. I think it's necessary. I appreciate that we have the ability to do it and the platform to do it, but it saddens me that we sit here in 2020 with everything going on in the world, and this is something that needs to be discussed.
And Dave, that's why I appreciate what LeBron James is doing among other athletes. That's why I supported Colin Kaepernick taking the stance that he did, because they're giving a voice to a community that in a lot of ways is voiceless. And so when you have them stand up for issues of social injustice and police brutality, you recognize that it's necessary, because these incidents that come up in terms of unarmed black and brown people being killed by law enforcement, as they continue to come up, we realize that we have to be louder and we have to have more urgency about getting the problem solved, because people are losing their lives. And it seems like these situations could be avoided. The loss of lives could be avoided. I was just talking with Santiago during the break, and we were saying that when we were brought up, I mean, we grew up in the tri-state area, you were taught as a kid that if something is going wrong, you run toward a uniformed officer, police officer, fire department officer, first responder. You know what I'm saying. You run toward a uniformed officer. Dave, in good conscience, I can't tell a black kid or a brown kid that if trouble pops off to run toward a police officer.
That's sad.
Because the police officer might take that as a threat and kill him. That's where we're at right now. And so while I appreciate Mike's perspective, it's a little bit different when you start talking about unarmed civilians being put in harm's way and how they react and being potentially killed because you're looked at as posing a threat to law enforcement. When law enforcement is trained to deal with certain threats and certain levels of violence. That's
and
the part
sad.
Of it.
It's sad that if you are mentoring a young black child, that you would tell them don't. And if I was talking to my kids and said, if you're in trouble, I would tell them do. That's a sad state of affairs in this environment right now.
But that's where we're at, Dave.
Yeah, I know it is.
Something has to change. And all I'm saying is it can't just be on black and brown communities to fix it, because if we could, we would have. It's going to take all of us. And I think that's LeBron James's point. And I think that's what Colin Kaepernick was trying to get to. It's going to take all of us, and we need to have more urgency about doing it, because, damn it, we're tired. We're tired of seeing unarmed black people be killed by police. We're tired of it.
Let's take a couple calls, and then let's move over to a much, much better topic, Daniel Jones, which won't be nearly as upsetting or controversial. Don in Jersey. Don, you're next up on 98.7.
Oh, good afternoon, guys. I'm just calling. I'm a police officer over here in New Jersey myself, and what the guy Mike was saying about no one cares when police officers die, that was just totally, totally ignorant. Like I said, I'm a police officer over here in New Jersey, and when an officer dies, you know, they stop the day, you know, to give accolades to the police officer who died. So for him to say that was just totally off base. But I'm calling because I'm a police officer myself, and I've been had guns pulled on me when I'm off duty, you know, just walking around the town. So for him to say stuff, you know, that's the problem right there. For these police officers to turn a blind eye, you know, when they say all police officers are not bad, that's true. We're all not bad. But the ones that are good need to start saying something about these cops who are bad. When they see something, say something. You want the community to see something and say something, but when you see a cop doing something wrong over here, you need to say something. You need to stand up and say, you know what? Go to internal affairs. Tell on that cop. Stop the blue wall of silence, because you want the community to stop the blue wall of silence. We have to do the same thing. And just one more thing, guys, before I go. In that town of Minneapolis, there was an Australian lady killed a few years ago by an Ethiopian black cop. He was given 15 years. She was awarded $25 million with no children, no nothing. $25 million for an accident. Philando Castile was killed, cop got off, and his family was just awarded $3.5 million. Now, where's the justice for that? Thank you, guys. You have a good day.
Thank you, Don. It was a good call.
He says, where's the justice, Dave? And right now, we don't feel like there's a lot of justice. We don't. I mean, the law enforcement officers in Minneapolis that took part in George Floyd losing his life on Monday, they were fired, but it has to be more, Dave. It has
Absolutely.
To be more.
Absolutely.
It has to be.
Well, I mean, because lost you're talking about and they lost their jobs. It doesn't equate.
There it is. I mean, we have to start with holding officers accountable in order to restore confidence from the perspective of people that are in the black and brown community in our police officers. That's what has to happen.
Yeah, but CC, isn't that where the disconnect lies? Right? It's like, I mean, we all like to believe that a vast majority of police officers are good at what they do, are good people. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's true.
But I believe that's true too. But if you were to take, I mean, if I were to put myself in Chris Canty's shoes now, or, you know, if it was the complete opposite, where we're talking about, you know, a black cop and, you know, it was, you know, us in that situation. It was me and you in that situation. Okay, we want to assume that all cops are good, but how do we know? How do you know who's good and who's not? Are you willing to risk that? Like, you have no idea.
No idea.
Yeah, Rick, if you're willing to risk it could cost you your life. That's the you know what I mean?
But I think that's where the disconnect is that you want to believe that more are good than are bad, but because we've seen so much of the bad, it's like I can't in good conscience tell my kid just to trust every cop. I couldn't do it.
You can't.
Cuz I don't think I would under those circumstances. You're just going to roll the dice, like maybe this time it's no problem, but who knows the next time? It would scare the hell out of me.
And it does.
I just, Dave, you know, the one thing that I want to come out of all of this, I mean, I want justice for Mr. Floyd's family, first and foremost, but the other part of this, the thing that I want to come out of this, is that everybody recognize that we're all a part of the solution. And that we've all, if we're going to find a way forward, if we're going to create meaningful change, then it's going to have to take all of us to work past the race system that's plagued this country from the moment it was born. It's going to take all of us. We have to. And we have to have the kind of urgency that we've seen in black and brown communities in terms of getting the problem solved.
It's daunting, to be honest with you. Today on ESPN.
But Dave. I mean, in order for it to, you know, to work, I mean, to Chris's point with him and Santiago talking, but there has to be a certain level of trust for that relationship to work the way it's supposed to work. I mean, there has to be the belief that people in uniform are there to protect you and are out for your best interest. And if for a second you question that, I mean, it's a recipe for disaster.
Look at where we are.
Because you go into a situation where, you know, this police officer, whoever it is of the mindset that the person that, you know, they're in this, whatever it is, this situation with, doesn't like them or doesn't trust them, and vice versa. As opposed to, like, there's a natural trust that we're doing our job, and it's, our job is based around doing what's best for the public. Once you lose that trust, I think that trust is lost
in a lot of areas.
Okay, but that needs to be addressed.
We got to repair it. We have to repair it, Dave. I guess that's what it comes down to. And you say that the task is daunting, and I recognize this is not going to be an easy fix, but it's something that we all have to be committed to, Dave, because we cannot stand for the status quo. We can't keep coming up with T-shirts and hashtags and thinking that it's going to change things. Like, we can't. I think we're all at the point now where we're aware of the problem. Now let's get to the business of fixing the problem.
I agree.
Because the longer we wait, the more lives are going to be lost that don't need to be.
I think you're 100% right. Now, today on ESPN Daily, with Tom Brady finally out of the AFC East, will a new champion emerge in the form of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills? Here, how Allen's growth could mean it's the season for Bills fans. That's ESPN Daily. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcast. Quickly on Josh Allen, you ever notice that Mike Tannenbaum, he really tiptoes. He doesn't really like to say negative things about a lot of people. He'll intimate. But the one guy that he just, I don't like him, is Josh Allen. Like, every single time we ask him about Josh Allen, he is not a fan.
No, he's unloved. Doesn't like his lack of accuracy. It's his big thing. Big sticking point.
Yeah, no, he is. He is very anti-Josh Allen. All right,
but Josh Allen's, I mean, he's a freakish athlete, though.
He's a huge guy, and he's a terrific athlete, and he's an excellent mobile quarterback. And, I mean, listen, he
can throw a football through a brick wall. I mean, arm talent is there. It's just a matter of teaching them to be more accurate.
Is that teachable?
Well, I don't know, Dave. I mean, you can improve it with footwork and pocket presence and those types of things. Quarterbacks work on it. It's not the easiest thing to fix, but it's not something that can't be improved. But what can't be taught is arm talent, athleticism, size. Those are things that can't be taught. And those are all things that Josh Allen has in spades as far as quarterbacks go. Plus, he took his team to the playoffs in year two. I mean,
should have won the game.
How could you not like what the kid brings to the table?
Yeah, I agree. I like Josh Allen. All right. Now, Rick, I'll leave this up to you. Do you want to get into a little Daniel Jones conversation here with what Cutcliffe had to say and Orlovsky on the Keisha the other day, or do you want to go right to CMT?
Well, the question is, do I want to make you happy or do I want to make myself happy? And because I'm a team guy, I want to make you happy, so let's listen to some Daniel Jones.
All right, so you read the article in the Post today, right? About Cutcliffe and what he said about Daniel Jones?
I did.
I mean, he is, and now granted, we knew he would be, he's his college coach, but I mean, he thinks he has the talent to be as good as anyone, it sounds like. And he thinks that, I mean, the work ethic is there. 10 hours a day he's working, and it sounded to me like he's, you know, saying he can, I don't want to say next Eli Manning, but he has that kind of work ethic, and maybe he'll get there at some point.
Well, he looks like he could be a Manning.
Well, he does.
The way he acts, his mannerisms.
Yes.
I mean, he could be a Manning. I think temperament, which is important, especially in New York, I think he has that. Toughness, I think he has that. I think he's got the accuracy. I mean, he's got the physical tools. I mean, as long as you support him with the right amount of talent, I mean, I saw a kid that has the ability to handle being a part of the New York Giants. Now, I mean, in saying that, does that mean he's going to have as much success as Eli Manning? I mean, 2 Super Bowls? Well,
you can hope.
You can hope, but, I mean, I didn't see anything in his first year that would lead me to believe that he's not going to be the face of your franchise for the next 10 years.
I think of what he had to do, Chris. Right? I mean, he had to replace a legendary quarterback. Eli Manning didn't have to do that when he came.
Well, not just replace. Time out. Not just replace. It's one thing when the legend is gone and then you step in.
Right.
He had to replace Eli Manning while Eli Manning was still in the building.
And still wanted to start games.
Exactly right.
Yeah, and the mandate from ownership was that Eli Manning was going to be the starter for the entire season, and Daniel Jones would sit the entire year. That lasted all of 2 weeks, and then Daniel Jones had to step into the starter's role under those circumstances. I mean, think about how difficult that is, how mentally tough the kid has to be. But it's something that speaks to what I've been saying all along when it comes to evaluating quarterbacks and whether or not you got a franchise guy. If you're worried about the fragility, the mental state of your quarterback constantly, then he's probably not your guy. It's what we talked about with Mitch Trubisky.
Yep.
I don't worry about that with Daniel Jones. I know he's mentally tough.
Well, my only question is, Spades in year one. I mean, all the questions you have with mental toughness, of all the questions you have with him, mental toughness just can't be one. It can't be. And neither can physical toughness from year one either.
No, because he took a beating in the pocket, Dave. My biggest questions about Daniel Jones really don't have anything to do with Daniel Jones. It's about whether or not he's going to have the right coaching staff around him to develop him and whether or not the general manager, Dave Gettleman, could put the complementary talent around him to get the most out of his abilities. Those are the biggest questions I have with Daniel Jones. But as far as what the Giants have done this offseason from a personnel standpoint, I look for Daniel Jones to make a huge jump in year two, even without the benefit of having OTAs, mini camps, and being in the facility with all his guys. I still think Daniel Jones is going to be poised to have a big-time season.
Now, Cutcliffe had nothing but raves to say about Daniel Jones in the Post article today. Dan Orlovsky was on the K Show on Tuesday and was asked if he has any concerns with Daniel Jones.
What I do is when I go watch tape, I don't watch tape, I study the tape, okay? I don't go in with preconceived notions. I'm just going to cut on tape and see what my eyes tell me. And so my eyes are going, man, this guy's lighting it up in man coverage, lighting it up in man coverage. Then all of a sudden, that's a bad ball versus zone, or that ball floated versus zone, or man, that defender broke on the ball and batted it away too early. And so it was wild when I went back and then charted all the stats, how different of a player he was in man versus zone. Really good in man, really bad in zone.
All right, so Chris, I asked you about Josh Allen. Is it? I mean, I would think that this is something that can be learned, right, over studying and time to get better against zone coverage?
Yeah, I think Daniel Jones can find ways to improve, and I think that his receiving core can find ways to improve in terms of being able to get open, you know, understanding the coverages that they're looking at and being able to break off their routes accordingly. And so I think that will all make Daniel Jones' job a lot easier, you know, if everybody is on the same page. And it just didn't feel like last year everybody on that Giants offense was on the same page. It just didn't seem like things were clicking. It seemed like Daniel Jones and Darius Slayton were on the same page, mm-hmm. which is a good sign. Two Dave Gettleman draft picks. But, I mean, in terms of, you know, the offense and Daniel Jones having everything, you know, coordinated the way that it should be, I didn't feel that. But even with that being said, the kid still had a solid rookie season.
He was very good.
Of course he did.
Yeah.
I mean, the only rookie quarterback that you would say, okay, is probably on that same level would be Kyler Murray in the season he had. But, I mean, Daniel Jones exceeded expectations that everybody outside of the Giants organization had for him coming into last year.
Yeah, I think the future's really bright. And first of all, the offensive line was awful. It's going to be better this year. The receiving core mm-hmm. should be better. He's not going to have to deal with the whole Eli Manning. I mean, that was a terrible situation to have to come into, right? I mean, this is a Hall of Fame quarterback that wants to start. It's not like Eli signed off and said, all right, you know what? I'll be a mentor. 2 weeks in, the job is ripped from Eli, handed to Daniel Jones. He handled that well. I mean, he did nothing poorly last year as far as the way he handled himself with Eli on the field, off the field, anything. The fumbling's got to get better. You'd figure with experience it would, number one. And then number two, with the better offensive line, Barkley was hurt, and I don't think was ever right last year after he got injured. And Evan Engram was hurt, which seems to happen a lot, but still, you hope that he's going to be healthier this coming season. So, I mean, I could be wrong, and I don't think I'm looking at it through Giants, you know, blue-colored glasses. I think that the upside is huge for this kid.
No, I think it's big time, Dave. I think he's got a chance to be the quarterback for the next dozen years for the Giants. And things are only going to improve for him. I like the fact that the Giants went out and got Jason Garrett, somebody that's been known to be able to develop young quarterbacks. You saw it with Tony Romo. You saw it with Dak Prescott. So, I mean, I feel good about what the Giants are trying to put around Daniel Jones in order to get him to realize his full potential. Now it's just a matter of being able to go out there and do it and knowing the kid and knowing what he's made of. And based on what we saw in his rookie season, there's no reason to think that he won't show continued growth in year two.
All right, guys. Everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. Rick, here's what I'm thinking. We double up. Take a break, come back. CMT followed quickly by Nobservations.
Love it.
Absolutely love it. I love it.
That is the opposite of Dave Gettleman and Daniel Jones. You just set me up for success as opposed to what they try to do to poor Daniel Jones.
That was rough and tough last year. Rick, you're in a good mood, yes?
I'm in a pretty good mood, yeah.
I have news which might not put you in such a good mood.
Don't do this.
Should I save it for after we're done with all the things we have to do?
No.
It's not awful news. I just think you'll be annoyed.
I was downstairs. Betty Crocker's back at it. She's got a banana bread going. She's got some pineapple upside down cake going.
Maybe I'm wrong. Right, maybe you'll hear it and just think it's great news for the station.
All right. Give me the news. Give me the bad news or whatever kind of news this is first. So then all of a sudden.
Well, it's good for the station. It's good for the listening audience. I think you'll be annoyed by it. Barry Trotz, right, 2 o'clock with Barton Hunt.
Yeah, that annoys me. That annoys me.
Yeah. But I have to promote it.
Yeah, I'm not even sure how that makes sense, to be completely
so
honest.
Last week it was Feinbaum. This week it's Barry Trotz.
It's Winthrop. Their producer
this almost feels like trolling. This almost feels like they're trolling me at this point.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, I don't love it.
I didn't want to have to, but I mean, I need to promote the show coming up. It's a good show. It's a good guest.
Oh, it's a great guest.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic guest. Would have been a perfect guest for this show, but hey.
It would have been great.
Whatever's good for the station. Whatever local meat needs. Whatever local meat needs.
All right. Well, I brought that to your attention, but focus now, because it's time for CMT.
All right, here we go, fellas. We did some MLB. We did some baseball. I was going to do the pitchers with baseball, but I mean, that just doesn't seem as fun as doing an NBA version today of CMT. Actually, in honor of me scooping Woj, which is the first time I've ever scooped Woj, but I'm going to take full credit for it.
How'd you scoop Woj?
Well, did you hear what Woj's report now? The new NBA plan, potentially, down in the, we can't call it a bubble because the players didn't react well to the bubble. Down in Orlando?
Yeah.
In Disney, going with the four Western teams that we mentioned yesterday.
Yeah. No, we did not mention it. You mentioned it. It was your baby.
Yeah, to make it 20.
Yeah.
That's getting a lot of traction, Dave. Mm-hmm. A lot of traction.
Mm-hmm.
20
think,
down in
do
Orlando.
He says per sources and quotes you.
No, I'm just thinking maybe if I ever get to go on SportsCenter again, maybe they'll put me ahead of Woj instead of behind.
Well, if you would have
talked about
the tub,
setting up
I'm sure
to
you
fail,
would've.
Too. Put me behind Woj and passing. Awful.
They really did not do you any favors. That's why the tub would have been
none.
Such a great idea. Come out of a bubble.
Yeah,
bath.
Probably not. I was told that was not a great idea. All right, here we go. We're going to go with the NBA version, CMT. We're going to go backcourt. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go backcourt.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you Dame Lillard. Dame time.
Yep.
Russell Westbrook. Or Ben Simmons?
Let me write this. Westbrook.
Westbrook, Dame time, and Ben Simmons.
Oh, God, this is really awful.
Not an easy one.
No.
Got youth, but can't shoot.
Oh, it's,
I mean,
yeah,
there's a lot
Simmons
going
is such a matchup
one.
Nightmare. And can take games over without even being able to shoot. All right. I'm going to marry. I think this is. I'm going to be very unpopular here. I think, Chris, you're going to completely disagree, and you might as well, Rick. I'm going to marry Damian Lillard.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I think he's sensational. I think if you, I mean, he's a star player. We've seen him in big spots come up huge. I'll marry him. I'm going to cuddle Ben Simmons.
Ugh.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I'm going to cuddle yes. Ben Simmons. And yeah, I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna trash Russell Westbrook.
Look at this garbage.
Wow.
Look at this garbage.
Wow.
I don't feel great about it. I think I could change if you asked me the same question tomorrow, but right now Westbrook to me feels like a huge stats guy and not as much a team leader. I could be wrong. I feel very uncomfortable with this question.
Yeah, I can't trash a guy that goes as hard as Russell Westbrook does night in and night out. I can't do it. I'm going to agree with you, Dave. As long as he doesn't decide to start rapping, I am going to marry Dame Dollars.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle Russell Westbrook.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I'm going to throw Ben Simmons in the trash because his jumper is trash. And in today's NBA, if your primary ball handler can't shoot, then you're probably going to be lost as an offense. So,
firmly,
yeah,
garbage.
That's where I'm going. Yeah,
let's not forget, too, Ben Simmons
jump shot.
Dealing with the back, too. Back's not good.
But
not
come
good.
On, he's so good.
Well, he's big. He can pass. He's good defensively.
He's terrific.
But give me Russell Westbrook's 27.5, 8-7. I'll take that.
Yeah.
Okay? So are you marrying Westbrook, Rick?
No, I'm going to go with the younger player. I'm going to go with Dame time. Plus, I was watching the This Is SportsCenter commercials. Terrific commercial. A couple years younger. Than Russ, but I love Russ. I'll cuddle him. Can I just give me the cuddle sound, please?
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I want to just cuddle all these guys, and then I'm gonna I'll trash Ben Simmons. I'm all set with him.
I told you my selections wouldn't be popular.
No, it wasn't. It's fine. I mean, we'd all marry Dame. Here we go. This next one's not going to be easy. I can promise you that. I'm going to give you James Harden. I'm going to give you Steph Curry.
Uh huh.
and I'm going to give you Kyrie Irving.
All right, so I got Harden, Steph, Kyrie. All right, well, I'm marrying Steph.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
That, to me, is not all that difficult. And now I'm torn, because Harden's a tough guy to root for. Kyrie has injuries. I'm going to cuddle Harden.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
I'm going to cuddle Harden. And for injuries and I mean, Kyrie can be difficult. And I'm not saying he's not great. He's great. But I'm going to cuddle Harden. I'm going to trash Kyrie. And I feel much better about that one than I do the first one.
Look at this garbage. Look at this garbage.
Dave, I've got the exact same thing that you do. I'm marrying Steph Curry. His dominant trait is being a knockdown shooter. Maybe the best shooter the game has ever seen. That's not a perishable skill. So he'll be able to shoot when he's 60 years old. I'm going to roll with Steph Curry. I'm marrying him. That's a long-term relationship. I'm going to have the affair. I'm going to cuddle James Harden. I think he's the best isolation player in the game today. The guy can drop 35, 40 on any given night. And so I don't think there's a better pick-and-roll player in the NBA than James Harden. So I'm going to cuddle him. And then Kyrie Irving, I'm all set. I'll throw him in the trash. I mean, on top of being hurt, the guy seems like he's toxic in locker rooms. And, you know, I just, you know, in a team sport, I don't need a guy that has that kind of attitude. So I'll throw him in the trash.
I mean, with the last name Harden, too, it does seem to fit with the whole cuddle motif. It usually does happen during the whole cuddle
that
thing.
Was like
here we go. Next one. I'm going to give you Donovan Mitchell, who should have been a Knick. Devin Booker, because I know Dave loves Devin Booker.
I do.
And Brad Beal.
God. This is not an easy one.
Brad Beal, by the way, having an unbelievable season this year.
Might I ask a question? Am I taking age into account here?
Everything.
Everything is into
account? Don't play dumb. I mean, yesterday you were taking in contract, age, health with the baseball. Why would it be any different now?
Well, I just want to confirm. And I want to see if the home version's any different than the one we play on the radio. Chris, why don't you? I feel like I keep going first. Why don't you?
Go ahead, Dave. I'm giving you honors.
Okay. Oh boy, I'm going to marry Devin Booker. I mean, he's a. They're all prolific scorers. I think he's the best of these three players. I think he's sensational. I don't have much more to say than that. This is really difficult.
He's 23. I understand it.
I mean, he's young. He's already a great player. I mean, if this is a Knick, you'd salivate it over him every day. I'll marry Devin Booker.
Mm-hmm.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
It's not Donovan Mitchell's fault that he's not a Knick, so don't. I mean, let's not hold that against him.
No, I'm not going to. But he's also 23. Good. The problem is, you give me three. You know, I mean, I could go in any direction here. I'm going to cuddle Donovan Mitchell.
I think hellacious seeds.
He's a wonderfully complete player. I mean, he has completely transformed what the Utah Jazz are right now. So I'll cuddle him, and I'm not comfortable with it, but I'll. I mean, he makes a ton of money. He's in the midst of a huge deal. I will trash very uncomfortably Bradley Beal.
Look at this garbage!
Bold, wow. Dave. Bold.
That is bold, Dave. I'm with
second leading scorer in the NBA, by the way, Brad Beal.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with that one, Rico. I'm gonna marry Donovan Mitchell. I think he's been a huge agent of change out there in Utah, making them. You know, a top half of the Western Conference team, seemingly overnight. So I'm going to marry Donovan Mitchell.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I am going to cuddle Brad Beal.
Mm.
He's averaging 30 and a half points per game this season. I just, with no John Wall in the lineup, he's been, you know, carrying that Washington Wizards team. There really isn't much interesting about them other than to watch the kind of performances that Brad Beal is capable of putting up night in and night out. So I'm going to cuddle him. And as uncomfortable as this is for me, I'm going to trash Devin Booker. I love his ability. I love the fact that he's one of the best shooters in the game right now. But, you know, stacked up against those other two guys, I would take those other two guys before I took him. So
it's all very difficult.
I mean, all very difficult.
It's all very, I mean, and I'm not saying you're wrong, Chris, because who knows? I mean, you just trashed a guy going for 26.6 assists and 4 rebounds a game. And I did the same with the second leading scorer in the NBA. So it's a brutal game.
Oh, you thought that one was bad. Here's the last one. This one's even worse. Save this one for last because I know this is going to give you, who knows with you.
I know LeBron's going to be here. Here's how I know. I'm not going to do it.
I'm not going to put him in the backcourt. I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
I was going to, but I'm not going to do it because that's Canty would have a nervous breakdown.
Neil Lekane is in this one then.
He'd marry and cuddle at the same time, pillow talk it. I mean, he would do everything.
Yes.
I'm going to give you Ja Morant. Ooh. I'm going to give you Trae Young. And I'm going to give you Luka.
That's delicious. All right. I'm going to see. This is easier for me than the others, actually. I'm going to marry Luka.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to cuddle Morant.
Bombs and hellacious seeds.
And I love Trae Young, but he feels very one-trick pony-ish to me. He's a great three-point shooter, but he's a great three-point shooter on a horrendous team. So I actually think of all the ones you gave me today, that might have been the easiest for me.
Yeah, but you're not interested in the whole, 30 points a game and 9 assists?
I'm not interested in that. Of course I'm interested in it. But I think that Luka and Morant are better players than Trae Young. I feel good about that one.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, Chris? I probably agree with you. I'm not disagreeing with you.
Did Chris get cut off?
Did we lose CC?
We cut off, guys. Chris.
Oh, he's back. CC's back.
I'm back now by popular demand. So I got Ja Morant and I got Trae Young, Rico. I did not get the third person in that group.
Luka Doncic.
Ooh, that's an easy one for me, Rico. I'm marrying Luka.
If it was socially acceptable, I wouldn't marry them.
Yeah, I'm cuddling Ja, and I'm trashing Trae Young.
See? And you didn't even hear what I said. You were behind closed doors. I had the same exact thing, and I said it was easy for me.
Yeah, that's an easy one.
Yep, there you go.
I didn't give you guys enough credit. I thought that maybe I could tempt you with Ja.
No.
No. No. I'll take Ja Morant any day. All right, we got to go rapid fire, but we're going rapid fire, Santi, if you will.
Do you need to feel better about your life?
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
And totally redeem yourself!
Let's take a look at Rick's Knobservation.
Welcome back, dum-dum.
All right, fellas, here we go. Did this happen in Florida? You guys ready for this?
We're ready.
Okay, we've heard we had a chicken on the loose. We've had, you name it, we've had it on the loose. Right? Now, to add to the list, we have a 250-pound black bear, 18-month-old male on the loose, running around in neighborhoods. Did they use a trank dart? No, they didn't use a trank dart, because God forbid this bear runs away and gets caught in traffic. You have to be looking out for the bear's best interest. So how did they capture this 250-pound black bear, may you ask?
Oh, no.
Would you like to guess?
The other ones, people dress up as bears to sedate them?
No, that's the practice. That was the practice in case the bear escaped. No, they already went through that. They actually used a few boxes of sugar donuts and a blueberry pie scented spray.
So they gave him donuts and then they subdued him? Did it work?
They caught him. Yeah. They set up a trap with sugary donuts and blueberry pie scented spray. And before you know it, bear got himself caught.
I got
probably would have got me too. Yeah, full disclosure.
Same with me. That's the playbook.
If they were hot now, you turn that down. I mean, every time you see that sign,
is the question. What kind of did it say? What kind? What brand of donut or no?
It did. Let me see. It did not. Initially, I thought it said Krispy Kreme, but then it says that it was a few boxes of sugar donuts and a blueberry pie scented spray.
They went right after his weakness,
which is interesting too. They just happen to have a blueberry pie scented spray hanging around,
right? And boxes of donuts.
Is that pepper spray? No, it's actually blueberry pie scented spray.
Blueberry pie spray. I feel like I need to get some of that for the house, right? Just to spray it around.
Yeah, it sounds delicious.
Spray to myself. What do you guys think?
Florida,
no?
You'd like to know?
Mm-hmm.
What's the bear population of Florida, Canty? You have any idea?
I don't think there are a ton of black bears running around in Florida, which leads me to believe it's not Florida. But what's throwing me off is somebody had the idea that donuts and blueberry pie smell would lure the donut, lure the bear in. To me, that seems like that will be a southern type of mentality. So I think it happened in the South, but I don't think it was Florida. So I'm going to say not Florida.
This is like the John.
It was Krispy Kreme donuts. Confirmed.
It was Krispy Kremes.
But in the end, the Krispy Kreme donuts.
For some reason, that puts it over the top for me. I will say Florida. I think that they thought that they were being so smart. We got to go Krispy Kremes. We go blueberry smells. I'm going to say Florida.
Yeah, this is not great for Dunkin' Donuts. It was Krispy Kreme and it was Florida. That was downtown Fort Myers.
Wow.
Downtown Fort Myers.
Fort Myers.
That's a major city.
Downtown Fort Myers.
That's on down Florida.
Wow.
That's not northern Florida.
Wow, that's really
Black bears in Florida typically range from 250 to 450 pounds. That's the males. Wow. They estimate there are just over 4,000 bears in Florida. I had no idea that there were that many bears in Florida.
That's a lot of bears.
Not okay. So last story for today's observations.
Mm-hmm.
Finish, Chris. What did you say?
No, I was just going to say, not only do you have to worry about the alligators, you got to worry about black bears in Florida.
It's a terrifying state for many reasons.
Yeah.
You probably take your chances with the bear or the alligators.
Wow.
Or you can walk into any convenience store without a mask. We are Florida.
Yeah, going to Walmart. Good luck. This is just the epitome of observations right here. I'll just tell you where this is. This is a Colorado man. So Colorado man sets up his wedding, engaged, the whole thing. In a tragic accident, his fiance passes away. And the wedding photography company will not refund his money.
Oh, come on.
No. So, yeah, he approaches them. Can I get my money back? My fiance actually passed away. One of them returned $1,800 deposit. They said this is amazing. This is what the photography company says to him. They'd extend his service to do his next wedding.
Oh my God.
That is cold blooded. Cold.
Oh my God. I would think MLB owners are bad. That is brutal.
That's cold.
Brutal. Here's what's worse though. This is what takes it over the top though. So then all of a sudden the story gets out. So this photography company gets a ton of bad publicity. So now they go on the offensive as opposed to the defensive. So now what they do is they fire back. They create a website of their own with the guy's name. And so it's the guy's name, wedding.com, in order to build their case against them. And then in the website, they say that this man admitted that the contract was non-refundable. And then also write, life is a B word, Justin.
Oh,
which apparently now has been removed from the site.
That is some company.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg. Weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.